KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a cloudy sky. It's 41 degrees. We look for cloudy skies today. Areas of fog, light rain, or drizzle, all possible this morning. Otherwise, for the most part, skies should be partly cloudy to cloudy and a high of 51. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. We're a week into spring now, and with the change of the seasons, Iowans know it also means changing weather, and sometimes severe weather. Meteorologist Mindy Behrens of the National Weather Service says this is Severe Weather Awareness Week, and there's a different theme each day, and today's focus is on severe thunderstorms.
Tuesday, how to receive warning information. Wednesday, information about tornadoes. Thursday, preparedness and families, what they can do to be prepared for severe weather, and then Friday, looking at flooding.
Last year was a relatively quiet year for tornadoes. In Iowa?
Yeah, we had 43 tornadoes in the state of Iowa, which is just a little bit under average, and our average is 48. The activity usually peaks in May and June, but every month in Iowa has seen a tornado.
This year is already very active for tornadoes, with multiple reports of funnel clouds in late February, and at least 10 tornadoes touched down statewide in early March. Buren said there will be a statewide tornado drill on Wednesday.
If there's no severe weather occurring or expected that day, the Weather Service will conduct a tornado drill between 10 and 11 a.m. Really just trying to get everybody to ensure that you can receive a tornado warning and also practice any actions that you would take in the event of a real tornado.
You can learn more at www.weather.gov/DMX. The Creston Police Department today reports two recent arrests. Early Sunday morning, officers arrested 21-year-old Eduardo Estrella of Creston for OWI first offense. Estrella was later released from the Union County Jail on a promise to appear in court. And Friday night, 30-year-old Michael Simpson Jr. of Creston was arrested at 105 East Adams Street on a charge of theft in the fifth degree. He was later released from the Union County Jail on $300 bond. A Creston resident reported to police on Friday that sometime between March 20th and 24th, the liner to his pool at his residence in the 400 block of North Chestnut Street had been cut. The damage to the liner was estimated at $500. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City police officer is recovering after his patrol vehicle was struck broadside by a pickup truck. The crash happened at around 2 a.m. Friday when Sergeant Terry Ivner was traveling northbound on a city street and was hit by an eastbound pickup. Police believe the 29-year-old woman driving the pickup had been drinking and charges were pending. Investigators say the woman ran through a yield sign and hit the patrol vehicle SUV. The Sioux City Fire and Rescue was called to cut Ivner from the mangled SUV by cutting off the driver's side doors. Ivner was taken to a Sioux City hospital where he was treated and released. The woman was also taken to a hospital for treatment of minor injuries. Democrat Kim Weaver, who wants a rematch against U.S. Representative Steve King after losing to the Republican congressman in 2016. The Des Moines Register reports Weaver announced on Sunday that she would challenge King in Iowa's 4th Congressional District in 2018. In the last election, Weaver lost in 38 of the 39 counties in the district, but she remains optimistic about her chances against King this time around. The 52-year-old Weaver of Sheldon has criticized King in the past for his comments on minorities, immigration, and same-sex marriage. The death of a 16-year-old Iowa girl has led to finger-pointing at the legislature and is an indication of how much has changed in the 17 years since the death of another child prompted a bipartisan inquiry. 5 months after the death of Natalie Finn, Republican lawmakers have been split over whether to investigate her treatment, and Democrats have accused GOP leaders of being reluctant to take up the matter because of possible questions about state staffing. The response was quite different after the January 2000 death of Shelby Dewis, a 2-year-old from Spirit Lake. Her killing prompted then-Governor Tom Vilsack to speak at a public hearing in Storm Lake, and the matter dominated that year's legislative session. Senator David Johnson said both parties worked together in 2000 to improve the child welfare system. A 23-year-old southeastern Iowa woman has been arrested and charged in the starvation death of her 2-month-old son. The Van Buren County Sheriff's Office said in a news release that Angel Poole was arrested and charged Friday with child endangerment causing death. Her bail was set at $15,000. Authorities say first responders were called to Poole's Birmingham, Iowa apartment on July the 7th. Poole had called 911 to report her infant son, Judah Wessels, was having trouble breathing. The baby was pronounced dead at a hospital about an hour later. An autopsy showed the baby died of starvation and dehydration. Newly released documents show Iowa officials have agreed to help private Medicaid management companies shoulder huge losses they've suffered in covering more than 500,000 poor or disabled Iowa residents. The Des Moines Register reports the three national companies have complained losing about $450 million in Iowa's shift to private Medicaid management, which started last April. Documents obtained by the Register through an open records request show that the DHS leaders signed contract amendments in February, under which the government agreed to shoulder some of the losses. The Department of Human Services spokeswoman Amy McCoy said Friday that the agreements are expected to cost the state roughly $10 million, which would be paid more than a year from now. She said the federal government would also contribute. A judge says Governor Terry Branstad doesn't have to testify under oath in a lawsuit filed by a fired Division of Criminal Investigation agent who blames Branstad for destroying his career. Judge William Kelly, a Branstad appointee, rejected Larry Hedlund's request to depose Branstad in Hedlund's wrongful termination lawsuit. Kelly ruled Friday in favor of the Iowa Attorney General's office, which is representing Branstad, and argued the governor was too busy to face a two-hour deposition. Kelly says Hedlund can seek information from Branstad in written questions, but requiring the governor to be deposed would be an incredible burden while he's preparing to become the U.S. ambassador to China. Hedlund is suing Branstad and the Iowa Department of Public Safety officials. He contends that he was defamed and fired for reporting wrongdoing, including a 2013 incident in which he reported Branstad's speeding SUV. Lung cancer remained the top killer of Iowans in a report just recently released by the State Health Registry, but researchers say they're concerned about the growing number of cases of liver cancer.
The rate of new cases in Iowa has roughly tripled from 1975 to 2014. A similar trend has been seen in other registries across the United States. Among Iowans, liver cancer is the 13th leading cause of cancer deaths among men and women combined. Chronic infections with hepatitis B or hepatitis C are the major risk factors for liver cancer.
That's Dr. Mary Charlton, Assistant Professor of Epidemiology at the U of I College of Public Health, where the State Health Registry is based. She says baby boomers are seeing big increases in cases of liver cancer.
This is because hepatitis C infection was the most common in the 1960s to the 1980s, before this virus was discovered and preventive measures, including screening of the blood supply, became possible. It is estimated that the baby boomers are five times more likely to have hepatitis C compared to other groups.
Dr. Michael Voigt, that is a clinical professor of internal medicine at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. And he says the Iowa Department of Public Health reported a little more than 21,000 cases of hepatitis C as of March last year. He said that indicates there are thousands more Iowans who have been undiagnosed and could be at risk for liver cancer.
And based on these numbers, approximately there's likely to be between 35,000 and 130,000 people in Iowa that are infected with hepatitis C. And the scary thing is that between 15,000 and 110,000 or 109,000 are undiagnosed.
Boyd says the disease often goes undetected unless you get tested.
One point to make is that hepatitis C is systematically downplayed within the media and within people's consciousness. And I personally believe the reason for that is because it's a silent and slow killer. Because something takes a long time to develop, people kind of just put it aside or ignore it or just don't think about it.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends that everyone born between 1945 and 1965 be tested for hepatitis C. And Voigt says that there are very effective treatments for the disease. He says that the state of Iowa severely restricts the payment for treatment of hepatitis C, with 90% of medical requests for payment having been refused.
I think that this epidemic that we're seeing, this increasing rate of hepatitis C and B-related disease is preventable, but we have to have the will to do this and actually find the wherewithal to actually get these people treated.
Boyd says it's not just an issue for baby boomers, as hepatitis C cases are also increasing dramatically among Iowans between 18 and 30. The Iowa Cancer Report was released last Wednesday. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.